So the final section is verse 24 up to the end of the chapter. Zadok was there too, and all the Levites who were with him were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. They set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar offered sacrifices until all the people had finished leaving the city. Then the king said to Zadok, "Take the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he will bring me back and let me see it and his dwelling place again. But if he says, 'I am not pleased with you,' then I am ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him." The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Do you understand? Go back to the city with my blessing. Take your son Ahimaaz with you, and also Abiathar's son Jonathan. You and Abiathar return with your two sons. I will wait at the fords in the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." So Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of God back to Jerusalem and stayed there. But David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. All the people with him covered their heads too and were weeping as they went up. Now David had been told Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So David prayed, "Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness." When David arrived at the summit, where people used to worship God, Hushai the Archite was there to meet him, his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'Your Majesty, I will be your servant. I was your father's servant in the past, and now I will be your servant,' then you can help me by frustrating Ahithophel's advice. Won't the priests Zadok and Abiathar be there with you? Tell them anything you hear in the king's palace. Their two sons, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, and Jonathan, son of Abiathar, will be there with them. Send them to me with anything you hear." So Hushai, David's confidant, arrived at Jerusalem as Absalom was entering the city.
Afternoon, everyone. So I'm just going to pray as we begin. Father God, thank you for this story that you have put in your word for us to read and to learn from. Father, please help us to pay good attention. Please help me to explain it carefully and for us to apply what we see. Amen. Now, I think you might know the answer to this question, but can anyone tell me what big event happened yesterday? Mention a... Yes, Levi. King Charles the Crown, wasn't he? The coronation of the king. We've mentioned it quite a bit, haven't we, during the service already. Now, when that happened, some people swore oaths of loyalty to the king as part of that ceremony. That means they promised to follow and obey the king. Now, we don't need to swear loyalty to King Charles III ourselves, but the Bible passage that we have been reading this afternoon, asks us whether we will follow and be loyal to God's true King, Jesus. And in stories like this, the one that we have in 2 Samuel 15, which Alwyn has read to us, we see how God's people fare when they both do and don't follow him. There's a real contrast we see between those who follow and those who don't in this passage. We're going to focus on two characters in the story and see what they can teach us. And then we're going to finish with a challenge for all of us. So firstly, we're going to look at Absalom. And the heading there is, "Insiders can become outsiders." Insiders can become outsiders. Now, Absalom appears to be the ultimate insider. But he rejects God and God's king. So in many ways, the writer of the story is saying to us, don't be like Absalom. You see, he's the son of David, Israel's king. So he's got all the power and influence. And he wants to show that off. Did you see at the beginning in verse 1, what's he doing? He's going around with these chariots and horses and running men. He's really showing off, isn't he, to the people around him. And in many ways, he was acting like a king when he wasn't a king. And not only this, Absalom wants to kick David, the true king, off his throne and make himself king instead. He makes all the people think that he is awesome because he promises to do what they want. He promises to do great things for them. Well, how were Absalom's actions described in verse 6? What did he do to the hearts of the people? Can anyone spot in verse 6, what did Absalom do to the hearts of the people? Yes, Daniel. He stole their hearts, didn't he? Absalom is described like a thief. I think you can see behind me. And how long did he do this for? Can anyone spot how long he did it for? In that same verse? Well, nearby anyway, not maybe not quite the same verse. How many years was it that he did it for? Anyone see? Yeah, 4, Andy, excellent, yeah, 4 years. So he was doing it for a long time, stealing the hearts of the people. So Absalom spent all this time plotting against God's chosen king rather than following him and obeying him. And actually, Absalom's name meant father of peace. But what's he doing? Well, he's planning war. He's planning war instead. So Absalom appeared at face value to be putting God first, because did you see what he was doing? He said, I'm going to go and worship God in this place called Hebron. But actually, what was he doing? He was putting himself first. Did you see that? He wanted that when the trumpets would play, the people would announce him as king. He wasn't really worshipping God, he was putting himself first. And even when he was offering sacrifices, in verse 12, he's recruiting David's key advisor, Ahitophel, kind of a funny name, isn't it, to help him reject God's true king. Absalom's plan is popular, and lots of people come to support him. Now, rejecting God's king and doing what we want can often seem attractive to us too. God promised, though, David, that one of his descendants would rule as the perfect king. And that king is Jesus. So that's the king we are to have in view as well. Now, have you ever done something you know is wrong and hidden it from your parents? Maybe. Well, when I was 8 years old, I'm afraid I deliberately cut the heels of my football boots because I wanted a better pair. I thought seriously, it's bad, isn't it? And so that my parents would get me a better pair of football boots. I pretended they'd broken naturally, but actually they hadn't. Now, Absalom is doing something like that, but on a much bigger scale. He pretended he was going to worship God, but actually he was going to make himself king. He hidden that from King David, what he was going to do. He had all the advantages of being in the royal family, but he wanted power and influence and authority for himself. Well, do you see that insiders like Absalom can become outsiders? Just being in the royal family, well, that didn't make Absalom a follower of God. He appeared faithful by doing those sacrifices, but actually, he was rejecting God and God's king. Are you rejecting God's king, Jesus? Are you in danger of it? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. So firstly, we should beware that insiders can become outsiders. But secondly, we should rejoice that outsiders can become insiders. And that's where we look at this amazing guy called Ittai the Gittite. And we see with him, outsiders can become insiders. Now, he appeared, unlike Absalom, he appeared to be the ultimate outsider. But we see that he worships God and he serves God's true king. So the writer of the story is really saying, be like Ittai. He said, don't be like Absalom. In many ways, he's saying, be like Ittai. Now, he was a foreigner. He hadn't grown up as part of God's people. He was a Gittite. It actually meant he'd come from the people called the Philistines, who had been Israel's enemy. People like Goliath, the giant that David had killed. Remember that giant? He was a Philistine, just like Ittai. Now, Ittai, you see, wouldn't have seemed the likely person to follow God and his chosen king. But that's what he does in our passage. He was an outsider who became an insider. He was a foreigner who believed in God and joined God's people. He had become a faithful follower. So his description was the opposite of Absalom's. Can anyone remember the image we had on the screen for Absalom? What image do we have on the screen for Absalom? Who can remember that? A thief, exactly. We had a thief, first of all. But actually, Ittai, he's a clear follower. He's following the king. He's not stealing people's hearts. He's following the king. So this reminds us that we can join God's people by faith only, not simply by growing up in a Christian home. In fact, Ittai, the foreigner, was showing Israel, those who had grown up as part of God's people, how they should act. He showed them the faith that they should have had in God and following God's king. David tells Ittai he can take a more comfortable option by joining Absalom's side. But Ittai stays loyal. Look what he says in verse 21. But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the king lives." Ittai is clearly trusting God, the outsider who has become an insider in God's people. He knows that God lives, and he trusts in him. So he's going to follow King David. He was an outsider who has become an insider. Now, has a boy or girl from a different country come to join your school or even your class? Has that happened? Maybe they joined not knowing much English, but now they can speak English well. Maybe they didn't know anybody at first in the school, but now they've got lots of friends. That's a little picture of what Ittai did in this story. He was an outsider who had become an insider among God's people. Well, have you joined God's people from the outside? Rejoice in that. Don't think that you are too far on the outside to be accepted. Look at Ittai. Follow his example. And if you've grown up in a Christian home, a Christian family, you too need to follow Ittai's example of faith, not Absalom's rebellion. The question is for all of us, do we follow God's chosen king? Well, so far we've seen, haven't we, two things. Insiders can become outsiders, and outsiders can become insiders. To finish off, we have a question, and that is, which king will you follow? Will you be like Absalom or Ittai? Will you seek your own ambitions and make yourself king? Or will you serve God's true king, Jesus? Absalom sets himself up as a false king, doesn't he? He wants to seize power. But Ittai, he serves the true king and he worships God. Now, in the series we've been doing these past few weeks in 2 Samuel, we've seen a kingdom in a complete mess, haven't we? As the human king fails. And therefore we see the people's need and our need too for God's true king, the one who really will reign justly. David was God's chosen king, but he would never be that perfect king, the eternal king that God promised. That promise was all about Jesus. And there's much about David in these chapters we really must reject. There's sexual sin, murder, failure to judge, weakness in parenting. There's lots of things that it's just really hard to read, isn't it? But in our reading today, he does start seeking God again. we see something, even in these little glimpses of David, of what it means to follow God and therefore follow his King Jesus. So firstly, David sees that God is in charge. Look at verse 25. He says, if I find favor in the Lord's eyes. So he realizes it's down to God if he's going to have favor. It's actually the first time that David has mentioned God since chapter 12. And he's saying God's in control, not him. Therefore, he trusts himself to God. He knows he must rely on him. And he says, let him do to me whatever seems good to him. You see, if God is loving and faithful, we can be confident when we put our trust in him and his true King Jesus. We also see that David prays and he plans. In verse 31, he prays, Lord, turn Ahithophel's counsel into foolishness. Because he knows God can and does answer prayer. Ahithophel is seeking to reject God's chosen king, just like Absalom did. And then in verses 32 to 37, David plans with another faithful foreigner called Hushai how they can frustrate Ahithophel's advice. To follow God's king, Jesus today, doesn't just mean sitting back, it means acting in faith as well. Have you ever tried to go the opposite way to a crowd of people? Maybe that was at a sports match, maybe on a busy shopping street around Christmas time. It can be really hard to get through, can't it, if we're going against the direction of all the other people. Well, in our story today, people like Ittai were going against the crowd. Most we saw were following Absalom, the false king. But Ittai, what did he do? He followed God and his chosen king instead. So which king will you follow? Will you go with the crowd and put yourself first? Or will you stand out like Ittai and put God first? So as we've looked at this chapter this afternoon, we focus on two particular people. Can you remember their names? What were the two people we focused on particularly? Who can remember their names? Yes, William? Absalom was the first one. And the second one was? Yes. Ittai. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So we've focused on those two people. And we've seen a warning, haven't we, firstly, that insiders can become outsiders. Growing up in the royal family didn't automatically mean Absalom would follow God. In fact, he rejected him. We've also seen someone to celebrate. Outsiders can become insiders. People like Ittai can join God's family by faith. And that's what we all need to do, whether or not we've grown up in a Christian home ourselves. So to finish, I'm going to ask that question again. Which king will you follow? Just going to give us a little while to think about that, and I'm going to pray. Father God, we see the challenge to follow your king. We know that can be hard. Please give us the faith to do so, just like Ittai had faith to trust in you. Amen.
If you're something like me, then perhaps that sermon has triggered a thought in you. There are times when I deliberately don't go God's way. I might generally be going his way, but I know I don't always go his way, and I need to say sorry. To follow the true king is to be able to admit I've gone wrong and to turn round. And I need to do that daily, weekly. I guess we all do. So we're going to say a confession. Please have a look at the words on the screen. We've not always lived the way you tell us. We have done wrong things. And there's good things that we should have done that we've not. Will you admit that with me and ask for God's forgiveness? So together, our Heavenly Father, Thank you that you love us and care for us all the time. We know that this week we have not always lived the way you tell us. We have done wrong things and not done all the good things we should have done. Only you can save us. So please forgive us and help us to live as your friends. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when I've hurt someone else, I've wanted them to forgive me, and I've asked them to forgive me, and I've felt that they haven't forgiven me. And it's a very uncomfortable place to be. But you and I can know that Jesus has done enough to forgive us. How can we know? Because of what it cost him to forgive us. He died that we might be forgiven. That is our confidence in being able to say that prayer and know it is answered. Take heart. Now's a chance for anyone to say something by way of an encouragement or to ask Ed a question. We love doing this. It does feel like the church service becomes more of a shared, joined up thing when you've got a question and we can engage with the passage together. So we'll have a go. If anybody's got something, perhaps they could send it on Zoom if otherwise, and we'll try and answer it. You need to speak up nice and loudly, or maybe we'll bring you a mic. Levi, could you take the mic to Ezra? Nice and clear.
Why did Absalom attack his father, even though he's his father, not his enemy?
Why did, what, sorry?
Absalom attack his father.
Why did he attack his father? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I think why he attacked his father, because he wants power for himself. We've seen from the start of the chapter 13 a few weeks ago, we've seen Absalom kind of plotting away. He wants it all for himself. He doesn't want to share power. He already has lots of influence, but he wants it all for himself. And I think that's just an example of what sin is like. It makes us want to put ourselves first above everything. And even though he has a great position as the king's son, he wants more. And so often our sin makes us want more and more. Great question. Thank you.
Microphone is coming to you, Daniel.
Why did people join Absalom if they know that that David is quite a good king himself? Because he is a good king. They know that.
Yeah, great question. Yes, why did they join Absalom when they knew David had been quite a good king himself already? Well, in the story we had there, what Absalom was saying to them, if you make me king, I can do everything well for you. I'm going to solve all your problems. That dispute you've got, I'll make sure that you get what you need. So I think he was being quite crafty and making people think he'd be even better. So the people, had, rather than thinking we should be following God and God's king, oh, this guy looks even better. And it was very attractive to them what he was offering.
Daniel just asked that, and it actually really helped me, that question, because I just think Absalom is actually a much more attractive king, and I'd like to, part of my heart would really like to follow him, because he's really accessible. He's got 50 men running in front of him. We already know he has great hair. And he just agrees with the people. Whatever he says, yeah, you've got a really good point. That thing you wanted is great. And then you've got him compared with David, who's this man crying, climbing up a hill. And I'm like, which of the kings do I want to follow? And actually, I need to want to follow the man weeping, climbing up the hill. And it's the same hill he prays on and weeps on for me. And it's that kind of weakness in that I need to find attractive if I would need to love Jesus, because he's also that king too. So it's quite helpful to think about how attractive they are, I think.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much, Caroline.
There's one on Zoom.
Yeah, So if you see, on, it says, David sent Hushai in as a spy, so acting deceitfully, is this okay? That was towards the end of our passage. Great question, isn't it? Is he being underhand there, or is he being, I guess, is he being wise? Well, I guess he's being, what use the word, pragmatic. He's thinking carefully. Now, is he entirely in the right to be doing that? Well, in one sense, Absalom has taken the rightful role that he had. But I guess I'm not really sure whether every method he's done there has been exactly right. But I think in one sense, he's kind of fighting fire with fire. So Absalom has been so deceitful throughout, and now he's trying to wrestle back some initiative. I'm not sure that the text there has a judgment on whether he's acting rightly or not. Sometimes we have to make that call for ourselves. So I'm not actually completely sure is my answer there.